It's time for a revolution. We've seen him in almost every industry. Now it's time to dial into sports, to dial into training, and to be able to measure those tiny little gestures to see how strong you are, how fast you are. Where better to start than in the fighting sports? And that is what we're talking about today in Microsoft Dev Radio. Hi, and welcome to the next episode of Microsoft Dev Radio. I'm Jerry Nixon, and I'm here to talk to you about Hixo. But before we get into that, I've got two people on the call that honestly are going to be some of the most interesting people you've talked to today. We've got Charles Lambert. He's the lead developer over at Hixo. We're going to talk to him in a second because right here, queued up for you and for me to be able to talk to is none other than Steve Seattle, my favorite evangelist, the startup evangelist from Seattle. But Steve, you're not in Seattle right now.
I am not in Seattle. I'm in San Francisco today, Jerry.
Is there anything in San Francisco?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
The one so, light town.
Yeah, so I'm here for a couple of days because very frequently we the evangelists like myself would gather in the city and hack on a certain project, a certain technology. So I'm here today and we are going deep into our cognitive services. Today.
All cognitive services.
Yeah.
And cognitive services are awesome to demo to people.
Yes.
They're so dazzling, and I mean, it just gets people's like minds blown. That's what it is. It blows their mind. And I
yeah, think is there one that got really famous with the guess your age API, right? So it's really fun.
What kind of dog are you? I mean, there's just some really great stuff. Steve, I love it when you travel because you come out to Denver and we get to talk to all these startups. Of course, you focus on startups. And then I get an opportunity to meet all these awesome startups because they're wanting to talk to you so bad. And I just hang out with you so I can kind of see what it's like. And
And I allow you to tag along. Yes.
You allow me. Yes, exactly. It's pretty great. Now, we've got Charles over in the wing. And before I start talking to Charles, talk to me just a little bit about Hixo. What kind of a company are they?
So Hixo is a Y Combinator company. So back at Microsoft, we engage with a very selective set of accelerators and co-working spaces that are producing really high-quality startups.
Okay.
And YC being at the top of the list. And that's how I cross paths with Charles and Hixo. So they're one of many companies that we work with. Definitely right at the top because we went quite far together.
Now, what is Y Combinator? It's a incubator. Yeah. It is a what's the word?
Some people would say incubator. Some would say accelerator. I would say it is interchangeable. But the main concept there is that it's a program typically with a defined start and end date. And what you do is you apply to be part of the program. Techstars is another popular accelerator. And in exchange for a seed investment, well, rather put it this way, the institution like YC or Techstars would give the startup that's accepted a seed investment. And in exchange, the company will typically give anywhere from 4 to 5 to 6% of the company to the institution. And during that 3 to 4 months, they would grow the company. And typically that culminates to a demo day where they'll stand on stage and talk about their product and raise money for the next to bring the business to the next level.
Yeah. And you didn't mention it, but Microsoft is also an incubator.
That's right. We have an accelerator. It's called Microsoft Accelerator. And the concept there is the same. I believe it's 4 months instead of 3. And the unique thing about Microsoft Accelerator is that we don't take any equity.
We don't take any percent. Isn't that bizarre?
Yeah.
I guess once you have a couple $100 billion in the bank, you might as well just hold off a little bit, I guess is the idea.
Rounding errors. I'm being facetious. There are good reasons why we don't. We chose not to take equity.
That's right.
The company and winning together with the startup was more important than owning the company, owning parts of the company. So it's a strategic a thing.
And these organizations are pretty picky. So if you see a company and they have made it into that class, you know they've gone through a lot of vetting, and you know the company really has a lot of potential.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. So that's why it's cool to have Hyxoo here. And Charles, now before we talk about your company, before we talk about the solution, let's talk to me a little bit about you. Who are you?
I'm a computer scientist. So I graduated 3 years ago from Laval University back in Canada, Quebec. So I do speak French.
Is that right?
And, yeah. And I was played a lot of football back there. We won national championships there. So I've always been tied to sports. And that's kind of why this product was of interest to me. And that's why I jumped in the project 2 years and a half ago.
Okay.
And yeah, that's mostly it.
Now, you tell me just a little bit about Hyxoo. What's the company do?
So we develop punch wearable trackers. So it's for training. So either for boxing or MMA, they use it as a training tool. So it counts how many punches they throw, the velocity of their punches. It recognizes also which type of punches. So either jab, cross, hooks and uppercuts. So it gives them statistics that they never had or they wish they had before, so they can improve. So we give them a way to measure and then they can improve.
And this is a device, you would wear this device when you're practicing, not during an actual event, right?
Yeah. As for now, yeah, only when practicing. But back then, at first, when I jumped in the project, we were aiming at broadcasting, so displaying stats live during live events. But now this is not the goal, like short term, but maybe later.
Yeah, yeah, because there's probably all kinds of regulations and things that you can't have too much stuff around because you could hurt somebody or whatever, right? That's
yeah.
Because you could hurt somebody, Steve. You'd hate to hurt somebody while you're punching them. That'd just be awful.
Jerry, you may have caught the fact that it's not a coincidence that that Hyxoo and Microsoft is working, because you know me, I love that space. I've been in MMA as a spectator.
Yeah.
I love MMA, and when I found out that Hyxoo was doing something in that field, I'm like, oh, sign me up. This is cool.
Nice, nice. Okay, so I have a device like this. Tell me just a little bit about the hardware for a second, Charles. I want to talk about the software, but I just have curiosity here. Where's the battery? Where's the sensor? Is it on your wrist? Is it actually in your hand? Where do you put it?
So, yeah, I have it right here. So it comes in that little box. You got it there. So this is it. So this is our charging station with two both devices in. So it's as small as that. So maybe if you could see with my hand.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So once you put it, so, you know, boxers and many fighters, they wrap their wrists. So when they're almost done wrapping their wrist, they just put it in, finish wrapping it up, and now it's in. And it's just the way they set it up right now. Maybe eventually, you know, it's going to come in with some gloves, like with a little pocket that you could put it in. But as for now, it's they put it in their wraps. So basically, yeah. So it communicates via Bluetooth to our mobile application.
Okay. Not to the phone that's in their pocket, but to a Bluetooth receiver that's somewhere outside.
Not to a Bluetooth receiver of your phone. Yeah.
Okay. But I mean, what's the practical place to put a phone while you're in a fight?
They just leave it next to where they train, or because the thing is the connection doesn't need to be live every time. So if ever you lose the connection, punches are still stored on the device, and once you get back in range, then everything is going to sync up. So you don't necessarily need to have your phone while you train.
Okay. Steve, I get it. I totally get it. And man, stuff like this is everywhere. We had an episode a handful of weeks ago where we did the same thing for golf, and they had all the sensors up and down the golf club and the way you're going. It seems like the precision of sports is off the charts right now. Isn't it crazy?
Absolutely. I think data is, and the analysis of data, extracting information out of data, is where the money is.
Yeah, and and now that IoT is so small, so cheap, so easy, so everything, right? It's really just a matter of just throwing a dart at at whatever field it is. If it's going to be golf, and now it's going to be, you know, fighting, and, you know, what's next? Everything can be improved. All these tiny little things that used to be immeasurable, right? You couldn't really, you'd have somebody say, yes, that was an upper, and he's keeping track on a notepad, but he doesn't give you velocity and all of these things that all of a sudden you have a massive amount of things. You could start processing that in some sort of ML, and suddenly you can come up with like real statistics that have nothing to do with what's observable, right? You can, you, really, it's about the data and the trending of the data. It's incredible. What's the special part of Hyksos? What was the problem that you went into?
Some problems. We went through a lot of problems, but at first we were aiming at broadcasting, so obviously it was a tough way to start it, because they don't want our technology unless it's like bulletproof, you know, there's no problems or anything. It needs to be perfect. So as for now, while training, maybe they're more likely to, you know, they feel it's all right if there's some errors at some points, and we were working on improving everything. So for example, it's very difficult to recognize, to make the difference between a hook and a uppercut, for many reasons, and even a coach sometimes has a hard time telling you if it, whether it was a hook or a uppercut. So imagine like trying to compute that.
Yeah.
So that's one of the difficulties. Yeah, and also like it's never been done before, so we've made it all up ourselves with a small team, small budget. So obviously, there's been some it's been a tough time, but we made it.
Nice. Steve, what's impressive here? What when you step back and you're like, wow, Hyksos really has the, what do you follow that with?
A lot of things. The first thing in my mind, other than the revolutionizing the sport and galvanizing the sport with science, collecting mm-hmm. data, I was pretty excited about what it could do outside of combat sport. Because this is... it wouldn't take you more than 5 minutes to figure out that, my God, if these guys can collect a sophisticated movement like a punch, they can collect everything else in many type of sports and beyond sports as well. So they have taken on a very they've opened up a little, you know, a little bottle with lightning in it, and right now the sky's the limit, so to speak. It's so much they could do. It's amazing.
Yeah. Now, Steve, tell me, how does Microsoft play into this picture?
Awesome. So when we first met Hyksos, they have a fantastic product. And just for the folks who will be checking out their website, we have a sensor that's sending data to a phone, to an iOS device. Charles, does it take an iPad? It does iPad too.
Yes, an Android too right now.
An Android as
well.
The
other version.
And that was a really fantastic part, because imagine if you are a fighter and you have these sensors in your glove and you're boxing, and by the way, it's really tough to box because acid will build up in your muscle and your hands get really heavy, and so these sensors can tell you how well you're still performing. So anyway, so these guys are punching, and the data is being sent to the phone, and in real time they can see their performance as reported by the Hyksos sensor. And that was really fantastic. And when Charles and I got together and talked about their technical roadmap, I found out that the next big move was to send the data to the cloud. So now you can have, say, a team of boxers just going at it simultaneously, or maybe they're sparring or something, and have their data be streamed to the one central place and be viewed by a trainer, or maybe for historical reasons, just to compare it to a real boxer, you know, and that was their next step. And we realized that we could actually utilize a lot of Azure for that. So we got together in a couple months back in right here where I sit in San Francisco, and started exploring the various ways that we can use Azure to send the data from the phone to the cloud and have the cloud organize the data and slurp it up. And obviously we are looking at a scenario where we want to scale. So it's not like we can just send one data point every minute. We're talking about a lot of data points at any given second times the number of boxes that you have going on at the same time.
Right.
So we explore things like Event Hub. We did stream analytics. and we played Power BI and sort of explored the various stack in Azure, and there were so many to choose from. And so today, Charles and I continue to work and refine the best approach for them to get all that data to the cloud on Azure.
Cool. Just when you think it's awesome, there's potential to be super awesome. That's great.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Charles, what do fighters think about this when you show it to them?
They don't believe it will work. So they're like, nah, I'm sure it won't. It doesn't work. And now that we've shipped, a lot of people are like, oh my God, this is amazing. I wish I had that like years ago when I was younger and trying to be a pro or something like that. So they're really amazed, and we feel we have mostly very good comments about the product.
And it is small, and it is out of the way, and I'll bet once you're taped up, you don't even know you've got it, right? I mean, it's just one of those things that happens to be there as well. And so, what do coaches say? Like now, you know, fighters are, they don't believe it. They love it. What's a coach do with this sort of thing?
Well, for them, like they could have maybe at some point before that count some punches with clickers or something like that, but now it's way faster. They just don't need to worry about that. Just worry about techniques and giving comments to improve their fighters, and then after they can look at the data. And it's also a big motivation. It helps them motivate their fighters, and that's probably the first comments that we get is like, now people just don't want to stop training. They're like,
wow.
They train for hours. And
what do you anticipate will happen next? I mean, are you going to... Are fighters seeing results like things that they couldn't see before? Are they improving in a way that maybe you didn't expect?
What we've seen as for now, it's like more motivation. They're trying to improve their speed, so average speed over a session. They're really curious about one metric that we have is a intensity score. So it's based off the number of punches that you throw and at what speed and... all that sort of system like that. So they're curious about it. They want to know more. They want to compete also. So now people are starting comparing their results. And that's something that we don't have any platform or kind of way for people right now to compare their results apart from, you know, sharing it on Facebook or something like that.
Sure.
But they're doing it still. They find a way to do it. And that might be something we'd like to add to the product.
Sure, sure. Charles, tell me a little bit about the technology. What's the software and hardware that's going on here?
So in here we have a gyroscope. It helps us, accelerometer and gyroscope. So the gyro is mostly to recognize our hooks, so that goes up and down. It helps us recognize that type of punches. We have a Bluetooth chip, obviously a battery. Otherwise, there's our firmware, so... the way we program. I don't think I told you already, but like our punch recognition or how we measure the velocity, it's all on chip. It's nothing done on the app or anything. So it's like, So and also, once we improve those algorithms, we're able to update every device that's on the field, like without people noticing almost, like they just, here's an update, they click like install.
yeah. The on the device, what's the software that you have? What language is it written in?
It's in C, and our firmware is in C. Otherwise, our app is, it used to be Objective-C, now it's all in Swift.
And now it's on the phone side?
Yeah, on the phone side, yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Cool. How do you start to calculate something that is as complicated as a gesture? Like, how do you bring those things together? What do you do? I mean, it seems like it could be almost overwhelming to say, you know, now I know the direction, now I know the speed. How does that translate into an uppercut?
It's a bunch of training. You know, we kind of train our algorithms to recognize certain movements, to filter others, so we don't want, you know, sometimes boxers will go and do some rounds on the bag, and then they'll jump in jacks and then come back to the bag, so we don't want to count those jumping jacks. So it's kind of some filters that we put in, make sure we train our algorithms to recognize which types of movements. And there's a bunch of stuff in there, but I wouldn't go deeper because that's pretty much where our secret sauce is. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. let me ask you, Steve. Steve, there's a developer watching this. There's a handful of developers watching this, and they've had the same idea, right? Theirs is about like training poodles or whatever. It's slightly different. How approachable is something like this, Steve?
How approachable in terms of pulling out the tech?
Yeah.
I would say, in the startup world, you learn very quickly that ideas are cheap. You can have like 10,000 ideas, written on the back of an envelope or a napkin, but execution is hard. Bring it from paper to actual product is super hard. For this topic, we're talking about IoT. So bringing an idea to a proof of concept, a prototype, that part could be fairly easy. But then from the POC, from the prototype to go to market, which these guys have done, is super hard. You can ask these guys. There's rounds and rounds of. It's not shipping software where you just edit a line of code and just push F5 or publish in Azure and then you're done. It's not that easy. And shipping hardware is tough. And so there's the easy part, proving the concept, slapping it on a little Raspberry Pi and strapping the Raspberry Pi on your wrist.
Yeah, right, right.
It's easy. But these guys have taken it a few more steps further and productizing it. Now that is very difficult.
And it's more than just fabrication, right? I mean, you've got to, especially if you think you've got to make it beautiful. You've got, because the bar for when he was showing us the device, opening the box, just that opening experience, the bar is so high for already. Just that, you haven't even gotten to the hardware yet, and they have extra things that you and I haven't even thought about. You and I would create our poodle tools, and we wouldn't think, well, can it? What if somebody hits it? Like, what if it actually takes a direct, is it going to break now? Does it get hot when it starts to be used? How big is the battery? How long does it last? All of these things are more complicated than you think. But if I separate the software from the hardware and I go to, like, just round one where it is I don't want to strap a Raspberry Pi to my wrist, but where it's, you're solving this with cheap hardware, a developer really can bring an idea to bear and start tempting people who might be able to join with them, be able to fund that idea, or kind of see it to the next level. That part is amazingly approachable, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree. I mean, go to a electronic store, pick up a Raspberry Pi for $35. You can slap Windows 10 on it, and you can start whipping up a pretty convincing prototype. And a lot of people are doing that out in the startup world. What they do is they do that, and then they get a designer to help them conceptualize how the finished product will look like, and then they put it on Kickstarter. And that's how a lot of hardware companies have grown.
Sure, that's right. Charles, tell me something about a device like this. When will it be available?
It is available right now. We just shipped our first batch 3 weeks ago or something. But now if you want to get it, you would kind of pre-order for the next batch that should be ready around April.
Okay, that's soon. That's really soon.
Yeah,
that's really soon. And is there a way to update the chip, or how do you flash upgrades? I just bought round one. I love it. But you just came up with something awesome and made it so that the super duper uppercut can be detected. Is there a way that you can flash the device, or how do you have an upgrade path?
Yeah, that's the way we do it, like remotely. You would kind of get a notification on your app saying that you should connect your device now, there's an update, and then it takes like 1 or 2 minutes to update, and then you're all set. So you don't need to buy a new hardware for that. That's something pretty cool for users.
Yeah, that's really cool. Kind of like how a game controller works on an Xbox or something, where all of a sudden you're flashing an update to the controller. That's pretty cool. That's really cool. Do you wear them around?
not really. Not yet. Because I would need to wear my wraps. So, because we don't have it's not a watch yet. So, or if ever it would be.
Cool. It sounds like this is a pretty sweet device. If somebody's like, I have to have one, where do you send them?
It's hyxso.com, and Hyxso is HYKSO.
HYKSO.com. They can go get it, pre-order basically the second batch that's coming in April. And awesome. That is super awesome. Steve, I don't know how you do it, but you find the coolest startups that you get to talk to. You must just have that magnetism, that certain something that only Steve can have in finding companies like Hyksos. What's the what do you see the next big revolution being, Steve? Is it going to be all IoT, or is it going to be machine learning or some sort of mix? You talk to so many startups. What's the trend today?
Number one, yes, I do have that magnetism. Thank you. two, I don't know. I mean, if I have an 8-ball that I can use to look into what's the next hottest thing, I won't be at Microsoft anymore. I'll be out there placing bets on these companies. But these guys continue to amaze us. It's just when you think you've seen the next big thing, another one comes along, right? The last company that caused me to go to lose my breath is a company in Seattle, a Techstar Seattle, that is helping people save and preserve their stem cells. And so for a fixed amount of cost, they save us stem cells, and then for a monthly subscription, you get to keep that stem cell in the fridge.
Yeah.
And if and when you need it, it's there, and it's freaking amazing. And then when I thought I'm amazed, and I meet another one, you know, and another one, another one. So it's so hard to tell what's the next big thing. Maybe it's fintech because of blockchain. Maybe it's IoT because things are getting cheaper and smaller and better. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Yeah. Man, I was hoping you were going to say space travel. Oh, I was hoping.
Space travel, yes.
Space travel, yes. Beat me up. Oh my gosh, it is awesome. I tell you what, we interview these teams, and I get so jealous. Sometimes my reaction is, man, why didn't I do that? That's so obvious. I should do that. You know what I mean? And other times I'm like, I don't know how you're ever going
to
actually
I would say that's a very mild response. Every time I see these guys do a demo day, and my reaction is like, ah, like F, you know, darn it, I should have done that.
Yeah, exactly. It's like mine your whatever you're great at, and think about like you. Everybody's got their thing that they're into, and I'm particularly great at poodles. Let's say why am I not thinking about solving a problem with poodles?
What's with you and poodles?
I don't even have a poodle. I don't even have a dog. I don't know. It was just the go-to example. Steve, I love talking about startups. Thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you so much.
Charles, dude, congratulations. It looks like you have an awesome product, man. You've done a great job.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's totally great. This has been a great show. Thanks for talking to us today, Charles.
It was a pleasure. Thank you, guys.
You bet. Have a great day, guys.